Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We've been talking about God's purpose now. We've talked before about our purpose and how that has already been fulfilled, and that God is now giving us projects to work on so we can learn how our responsibility, how our authority works in our new identity, our new position as sons of God, ruling and reigning here on this earth. And we are, can we say, pulling God's purpose into our soul and our body. As the hindrances between our soul and our spirit are removed, the purpose that has already been fulfilled in our spirit, also over time, project by project, is also achieved in our soul and our body. So you are God's purpose now. He's not concerned about world events, he's not worried about them. Things are going exactly as he intended. Not as he allows, but as he intends. God doesn't have a perfect will and then a permissive will. He's only got one. And everything's happening according to that plan. Our problem is when we don't have all the facts, we draw wrong conclusions. And very often, we don't have all the facts because God doesn't want us to have all the facts. He does not want us to be relying on our own understanding or drawing our own conclusions. Even when Jesus was here walking around on this earth, some believed he was the Messiah, the Savior, the coming King. And some understood the fulfillment of the promise that was given. But so many didn't. If God wanted to, he could have made it so clear to everyone that Jesus was the Messiah. But he didn't. Now, some conclude from that there are some that are selected or elected, preordained to be Christians, and some not. But we can draw a different conclusion from the same set of facts, that God didn't want everyone to believe that he was the Savior, the Son of God, because he had something else in mind. Now, for you and I, we can get frustrated if we are relying on our own abilities to convince someone else that there is a God, that he loves them, and that he wants to change their spiritual identity. And we can conclude that if we just go by that, we can say, well, God doesn't want them to know him, and that he is one of those who are not elected. And that those who are elected are the only ones who are going to receive the truth. or we can conclude a whole different thing from the same set of facts, that God has not revealed himself to them yet. That view more closely lines up with the character and nature of God than the first one. The idea that God would go through what he's gone through and condemn anyone to be separate from him because of his own choice. You know, and there's all these this convoluted thinking. Well, God knew that, you know, their heart was dark, or that they would turn from him and continue to sin, or, you know, he preordained from the foundation of the world who would be in heaven. Well, these are all, you really have to presuppose what heaven and hell are like, and the facts do not support, the character of God does not support that viewpoint. We are, as believers, as loving beings, as those who have God's character, we are obligated to err on the side of the love of God, on his giving nature, on his grace. So the fact that we don't have all the information, all the facts, to draw one conclusion that God is going to condemn some is a false supposition. Let's err on the side of God's love, his omnipotence. And this is actually where we get into so much trouble, where we draw conclusions when we don't have enough fact. And we love to do that. You know, when somebody says something or somebody does something and we don't know why they did it, they hit our button and we draw conclusions that may not have anything to do with the facts. I remember that. I'm thinking of that one movie, the remake of The Father of the Bride, where the daughter's going to call off the wedding because as an anniversary, her fiancé gave her a blender for their anniversary gift. And she drew the conclusion that that was his idea. This was for the house. This was his expectation of where what she was going to be doing. She was going to be working in the kitchen. That was her role. That was his expectation. And it just pushed a button in her. When they finally got to talking, you find out that he just knew that she loved to make smoothies. And so he bought her a new blender so she could make smoothies easier. And he had no reinforcing ideas whatsoever. He thought she'd like it. And we do the same thing with God. As we draw conclusions without asking, we draw conclusions from our own situation, from our own basis of what would I do in this situation, or what do I think God is like. This whole idea of trying to put ourselves in God's place, what would Jesus do? That's not only misleading, it's damaging. Because there's only one who can tell us what Jesus would do, and that's Jesus. We can't think, okay, now if I were Jesus, or going by what's in the scriptures, what would Jesus do in the situation? We are reinforcing the hindrances, the walls between us and God when we don't go to him first. And he has made it so simple. He has really made it so easy for us to know to be able to determine what he wants, what in any situation he wants to do. And it's simply ask, Lord, what's the situation about? Is this something you're trying to talk to me about? Lord, I have to make a choice here. What's going on? Lord, this person hurt my feelings. Is there something there you'd like to talk to me about? And this is where, when we start asking him, he not only has more opportunity to change us, but he has more opportunity to change those around us. One of the things that happens is when we start going to him first and asking him, Lord, is this something you want me to pursue? Do I need to spend time with you about this situation? Or are you going to put some resource in my hand? There may be things you don't know and that God wants you to know, that he doesn't want you to drop it. But he can tell us. In every situation, the only answer we need is, Lord, what do you say here? So we've identified our problem is that so many of us don't have the confidence that we're hearing him. If we can solve that one problem, all these other issues fall right into place. He's a living God. He speaks for himself. And he's perfectly capable of making himself clear. If he can't, he's not much of a God. So we challenge him and say, God, what is your will here? What do you want? Is this about me? Is this about them? Is this something that I just let go? And we learn, we use our own language. God knows our history, and he knows what communicates best to us. The problem is to be able to hear his voice. That's where work is involved. That's where putting our control of our lives into his hands and giving him priority, 100% priority. We don't say, okay, God's first, and then our family is second, and then we're third, or however. There's only one priority. God's first, God's second, and God's third and fourth and fifth. All these other things, everything else in your life is part of God's priority for you. God has given you the circumstance that you are in so that you can learn to hear him, so that you can learn to know him. This is life eternal, to know God. Not just understand or believe, but that word know is to experience. It's the same way as Adam knew his wife and conceived something. Is we know God, we are intimate and confident and engulfed in him now. That's eternal life. It has nothing to do with you dying. It has nothing to do with your level of faith. In your spirit, you are already one with him. You have right now all the eternal life you're ever going to get in your spirit. But God wants you complete, whole, and entire, spirit, soul, and body. So he's given you the circumstances you're in to teach you how to depend on him, to break down those barriers between your spirit and your soul. The body follows along fairly easily for most of us. Now, some of us have strongholds in our body, and those need to be dealt with. We have addictions and habits that the Lord wants to break. But those, once we understand the principles, those are fairly easy to break. Because everything comes down to, Lord, what's going on here? Do you want to talk to me about this? Is this something you want to deal with me about that we're ready to work on? You know, so often we want prayer to just be, okay, you know, dear Lord, do thus and so, amen. Or we figure if we're putting in passion and high levels of emotion or high levels of time, that that's going to move him or please him in some way, get him to move, or make up for others not moving. And we so often relish that and take strength in that because it keeps us from having to do the hard work of hearing him for ourselves, one-on-one. The voice of God, that still small voice. There's a reason it's still and small. And so we have to put away distractions to hear him. But it's worth it. He loves us. He knows what we need. And he's arranging the circumstances so we can depend on him and he can set us free. It makes so much more sense to go with God's character than to try to find a convoluted explanation that justifies what we see, what we believe, what we understand. Instead, we give up our understanding, what we believe, and let God be the God. So that's agreeing with God's purpose now. Joining him as he works out his purposes in our lives enables us to rest and abide with confidence. When we know we're cooperating with God, we're on his side, we're accomplishing his purpose, we know the result is guaranteed. And will be satisfying for both us and God, though it may be a hidden thing. We can face life's guaranteed trials and tribulations with excitement. Tribulations shall come. It's not a reflection on your standing in God. But we can look forward to them, waiting to see what God is going to do, knowing that all is under his loving control. He knows what he's doing, and he knows it's for our good. It's just his idea of our good and our idea of our good are often different things. When we can step up to the plate of our own lives and say, okay, God, I'm taking the authority and responsibility for my life, and I'm going to depend on you, knowing that God is aligning our desires, our dreams, our goals and aspirations with his, then we truly get to know God in an experiential way and enjoy eternal life now. Again, God has not put off anything till tomorrow even. You can experience everything that you've ever imagined or dreamt or wanted of God. You can experience it right now. And the hindrances that are holding us back. Now, God's generous and gracious. He doesn't destroy that hindrance, that brick wall, all at once. We couldn't take it. Because he's not trying to crush you. And we'll be talking about this the next section, about brokenness. He's not trying to destroy you. It's just very often, in order for us to start letting him take the bricks down out of that wall between our soul and our spirit, he often needs to make a big hole with it in it. He needs to blow it up. He needs to use a wrecking ball or dynamite. And that's very often a broken experience, a brokenness experience. But it's all about his purpose in our lives. Again, don't worry about what's going on out there, about whether it's the end of the age. You know, oh my goodness. Guarantee you right now, people's perception is totally off. This is not the end of the age, according to the people's idea. Whatever's coming in a much, much bigger way is going to come when the church is without spot or wrinkle. And we are so far from that. You know, we'll be here for thousands of years. So just rest assured. And be prepared. I remember when I was in college way back, we're talking 20 years ago, 25 years ago or so, people were thinking that there was, because the rapture, which I'd never heard of, the rapture was going to happen any minute. People were not going to classes. The politics of the day was really bad, and there was insecurity in the world, and danger and through war, and just it was the end of the world, and people were really expecting that week, you know. And people, I had friends who broke off their engagement, because why get engaged? Why plan and have parents spend money rather than get married if you're not going to be here? And wouldn't it be better to use that money to go out and evangelize? And that's what I had a couple of friends who did that. And of course, it didn't happen. Now, they drew wrong conclusions. They rebelled against the church and said the church misled them that they were attending, rather than that was their responsibility. They didn't check with God. And so they missed his slapping them upside the head, his shaking them and saying, look, I want to talk to you. So we don't want to blame others. We don't want to blame even what we've been taught. We don't want to blame anyone. Instead, we go, okay, Lord, I'm right here, right where I'm at. How do I get where you want me to be? And it always starts out, the main focus is learning that habit, that skill, turning to God. God, what do you want here? What is your purpose here? And that's how he teaches us to hear him. Everyone who is a believer can hear him. We all have equal skill and ability to hear him, because if you have been regenerated, you are already hearing him perfectly in your spirit. So when we cooperate with him, we can be confident that he is bringing us into a place where we can realize our desires, our dreams, our goals, and aspirations. And we've got a call coming in. So, caller, welcome to Prepare Radio. There we go. Whoops. Trying to get you on here. Area code 862. Who am I speaking with? Hello? Hello?
Yes, I think that's me.
Yes, it is. Hi, how you doing? Who am I speaking with?
Yes. My name is actually Tara.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm through an interpreter from Virginia.
Okay. Yes.
And I'm in the chat room as well. I'm a deaf individual using an interpreter and listening to your radio program.
Yes, you called in before.
Yeah, well, I must have forgotten I was on this show before. Thank you.
That's all right. Now, we've only got 4 minutes left. Do you have a question, or do you want to get in touch with me directly, and I can again give you my email address?
No, I just wanted to let you know I'm listening, and I really enjoy your program.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, you're always welcome to stop by. Unfortunately, like I said, it's only a 30-minute program, so we are looking to do a more extensive program where we might be able to spend more time with any individual. So keep an eye on that. Have you joined our blog where we can keep you updated on changes?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So when we start this other process, what we'll do is we'll put an announcement there, and so you'll be able to be more aware of what we're going on in other areas. So do you have a question for today, or?
No, I was just listening. Thank you so much.
Great, thank you, and thanks for tuning in. So when we realize that our purpose, by depending on Him, we don't have to get God to fulfill our desires. He gave us our desires to draw us to Him. He reveals Himself not so we will change our behavior, but so that we will release anything that is keeping us from being consumed in Him. We're not talking about losing our identity. We're talking about finding it. Right now, for all of us, those hindrances are keeping us from being able to live whole, complete lives the way God created us. He gave you the soul you have right now, the mind, will, and emotion, the temperament. He likes you that way. Very often there are things about us that we want to change that He likes. He says, I'm not going to change it. And this is where we have to learn to live with things about ourselves that we don't like, that God does. But again, it goes back to, until you hear differently from God, we pursue, just as Paul did. Paul was seeking a healing for his thorn in the flesh. And he kept on seeking until God said, no, you're going to learn to live with this. My grace is sufficient. I'll take care of you, but you're going to have to learn to live with this. And then he said, okay. But he asked until he got an answer. And that's what you and I are learning to do. And this is often why He brings in some of these major circumstances in our lives, is to break our own control. We're putting in all our effort into controlling our own lives. And He brings in that wrecking ball to shake us out of that. So, though our lives are no longer under the control of our souls, but of our spirit, the contentment experienced by our soul is well worth the sacrifice of our time, attention, and whatever demands God may place on us. We truly get to know God in an experiential way, and we enjoy eternal life now. So He's worth it. We press on until we hear His voice clearly. So we'll be picking up the Brokenness and Dependence on God next Monday, same time. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.